but they are all chasing Damon's mound in a flashy, flashy performance. Rambles home to win it by 12.
To the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. Little Eli Cook taking us out of break and special show lined up today, August 13th edition of Off to the Races. We'll recap some of the racing from Colonial Downs. It was an exciting week at Colonial Downs on a number of fronts this past week, and the match series returns to Colonial Downs on Tuesday. Some great races, the Old Nelson, the Buckland, Seeking the Pearl, and the Chesapeake Stakes, all part of that match series on Tuesday. And we'll talk a little bit about what they are and who's in those races, including we'll talk to Joe Rocco Jr., a leading rider at Colonial Downs, currently fourth in the standings. He's actually in the opener at Churchill Downs today, a special day of racing at the world's most legendary. And the David Zenner will join us in about 10 minutes to recap that crazy week at Colonial Downs. Frank Vespi is living the dream. Jessica Paquette, the voice of Colonial Downs' signal, will join us in about a half hour from now. And, of course, Derby Bill Watson will get his selections. It is a full slate of racing at Saratoga today, a full card at Churchill Downs, rather, as well. A single day of racing is part of their Arlington Million event. So, interesting times here with racing throughout. Great weather today. 77 degrees at the Spa up at Saratoga, 85 degrees at Churchill Downs, no rain in the forecast at all. And for the week ahead at Colonial Downs, there are some rain threats on Monday and Tuesday. It does not seem to be of any disabling consequence, nuisance, maybe hindrance type of rain event, and about 50% each day on Monday and Tuesday, and it drops to about 20% on Wednesday with low temperatures. We're glad to see that. And of course, the turf course can handle, if it's that amount of water, the turf course will handle it extremely well. But let's go back and recap last week's racing at Colonial Downs. The stakes racing will start with the Keswick Stakes, which featured a field of eight. The favorite in the race was Cocktail Dreaming, who had Christian Olmo aboard. Also in the field was Naval Empire. Backseat Betty was in the group as well. But this is how Jason Beam called the Keswick Stakes last Tuesday.
Tito's Change My Luck starting to rally up on the outside of Rebel Consort as they have 3/16 of a mile left to go. It's Beam out in the leader. Tito's Change My Luck. Lavana getting into the bit down the outside. Cocktail Dreaming trying to re-rally back down toward the rail. Rebel Consort is not done either. At the 16th pole, Tito's Change My Luck coming through between horses. Tight quarters for Rebel Consort down toward the inside. Lavana down the outside. It's Tito's Change My Luck in front. 13-1 upset here. Tito's Change My Luck wins the Keswick by 2.5 lengths.
Jerion Barbosa with the win with Tito's Changed My Luck. If you were looking for favorites, you could have probably started yawning at about the eighth pole or so. Just no challengers coming out of the leading group. The public was very disappointed with this race. Tito's Changed My Luck paid $29.80 for trainer James Lawrence and Lawrence Stable, Matthew Shera, the owning connections there. So congratulations on that. The two-year-old fillies there, Tito's Changed My Luck, a big upset winner in the Keswick Stakes. In the Hickory Tree, also last Tuesday, the stakes race run in the middle of the card. This really, from a handicapping standpoint, was going to set up to be a duel between Super Saver and Heldish. That's at least the way the public saw it. And The Hickory Tree for two-year-olds as well. Jason Beam brings us down the stretch.
Heldish into the stretch a half length in front of Simply Super in the second spot. They're 2.5 clear of Grand Escape in third. Trying to get going Coffee with Chris. My Mob is putting in a bit of a bid from the back as they have a final furlong left to go. Heldish digs in down along the inside. Still trying to stave off the challenge from Simply Super on the outside. It's Heldish to the 16th pole, a half in front. Simply Super, these two still five ahead of everybody else. Simply Super coming up alongside of Heldish now here. Simply Super on the outside. Heldish battles on. Simply Super to win it. Heldish was second.
A couple of Colonial Downs veterans there, Horacio Caramana, Special K with the win on Simply Super, who just ground down the winner there, leader there, Heldish, who was ridden by Sheldon Russell. Good race there, and the public very much satisfied with that result. Super Saver paying $5 to win for trainer Mike Maker and Maxis Stable. So congratulations to those connections. A rare loss for trainer Brittany Russell, who is having an exceptional meet at Colonial Downs. And we'll talk about this here in just a few moments with David Zenner, but it was just sort of an exceptional week at Colonial Downs. The pick fives gained some attention with the carryover that led into Tuesday's card. And as you went through the card, the first four races of that pick five had some nice pricey winners in it, but it just ended with a bomb with Feisty Kitten paying $122.60 to win. That really blew up the pick five pool, which ended up paying $62,000. It looks like there were probably some ten, 11 winners, just kind of looking at the pool, which had a carryover about 300 or 400 going into it. So $760,000 was the total pool in it. But, I hope you had one of those winners. I did not. That pick five with the 50-cent pick five with that 12% takeout, just a popular wager at Colonial Downs. Feisty Kitten, by the way, was trained by Mary Reardon, who seems to launch a big pom right before the Disabled Jockeys Tournament. And we'll talk a little bit about that later in the show as well. That is tomorrow at Berkshire. And unfortunately, my leg did not heal fast enough to allow me to gain entry into that tournament, but it is a great event, and hopefully you can make it post time. That is, tea time is 1 o'clock for the shotgun start of the Shannon Campbell Disabled Jockeys Tournament, the annual event. It's just a real fun event, and they're going to have great weather for that as well. Looking at the trainer standings, Larry Ravelli maintains a short lead. It's very competitive between Michael Trombetta and Michael Stidham and Chris Block with five wins behind them. So in a couple of trainers, I touched a little bit on Brittany Russell, who has three wins and six starts. Sarah Nagel has three wins and five starts throughout the meet so far. Steve Asmussen, actually, along with Ravelli, leading the dirt side of the trainer standings. But overall, Larry Ravelli with the lead. Going back to the jockey standings, it is Jareth Loveberry who maintains a brief or slight lead over Heavy on Toledo with 10 wins, Jareth Loveberry with 12. And then you go back to Lionel Reyes with 9 wins, Victor Carrasco and Jan Avelis with 8 wins, Horacio Caramanos with 7 wins. So that's going to be fun to watch going down the stretch. And a guy who's had a lot of fun this week is Dave Zenner, who handles simulcasting for Colonial Downs. He joins us now on Off to the Races. David, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How you doing?
Doing great on this kind of a funny time in racing right now. You got the Arlington Million run at Churchill Downs. You got the Match Series showing up at Colonial Downs, and it was an exciting week of racing at Colonial Downs this week. This meet is nationally just picking up so much steam. There's so many people beginning to talk about it, whether it's relationship with Saratoga, or it's racing with the turf. It's ties with Kentucky now. I mean, it has just become – I wrote a few weeks ago. It used to be considered off the beaten path a little bit, but it really isn't anymore. I mean, people are really focused on this meet.
There's no question about it, and I think a big part of it is racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday when the big hitters aren't out there. I mean, Saratoga's out there on Wednesday. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, a lot of exposure on TVG. You talk about us every Saturday, which we certainly appreciate. And really, the horsemen have been the ones who made the meet. And, you know, a good group of them. You mentioned most of them when you were talking about the standings there. And for the Chicago boy, we're kicking a little bit of butt with Loveberry on top in the jock standings, and Ravelli and Block 1-2, or among, and Stidham 1-2-3 in the trainer side. So I feel at home.
Yeah, welcome home. The shame it took so long for you to get here, but yeah. And you have been here and there throughout Colonial's history. The match series is on Tuesday. It returns. This is like a 5-race series with divisions. I want to say it's 4 divisions. Colonial Downs hosts the 3-year-old for 3-year-olds and up, going long on the turf. The 3-year-olds going for boys on the turf, and the sprints in the same divisions on the dirts. So a little bit of variety there with the match series.
You know, with these 4 stakes on the card, they've come up very, very deep. This might be the best non-Virginia Derby card I've seen, not only in the 3 years that we've been back, but even remembering old Colonial prior to us reopening in 2019. This is a very deep card, deep stakes races, deep, you know, large fields, which, you know, I was talking to Tom Lamara from Match, and he was like, you don't see 13s and 14s in a lot of stakes races these days anymore. And, you know, we've got a 13, we've got a 14.
Yeah. I mean, that's the Colonial has been known because of the turf is and the low end sort of racing on the turf has always been known for having big prices and big fields. But it's great when it carries over to the stakes like it has on Tuesday. The Pick 5 drew a little bit of interest. Mentioned the payout and the interest with it. It's been so well received. I like it. I mean, I don't know how many Pick 6s you've ever hit in your life. I think I've maybe hit 1 or 2 of some value, nothing elaborate. But the Pick 5s are just seem to be a little more reachable with the 50-cent you know, minimum wager on it that seems to be popular. How is that received, and how generally just as how is the handle going?
We are up about 30% year over year from last year, so couldn't be happier than that. And the Pick 5 has just exploded. I think the average is about 160 or 170. Obviously, the average, you know, blew up this week with that 760 bet in on Tuesday, so that number will come back down to reality unless we get another carryover. And I was just amazed at the carryover because I'm watching a little bug on the TV screen saying, you know, 200,000 and growing, 230,000 and growing, and 240,000 and growing. And I'm going, you know, I thought it would be bigger than that. And then all of a sudden, the next click, it says 460,000 going, and then it was 520 or something like that. And, you know, it ended up 761,000 plus the 80 something thousand. And, I think it was 12 50 cent tickets that were, ended up being them. I'm not allowed to bet anyways, but even still, I wouldn't have had one of them after that last winner.
Yeah, Mary Ridden with the delivering the big price winner there, as she always seems to do about this time of year. Well, David, we got Joe Rocco here just around the corner, so we'll turn up here. But I know it's a little bit harder for you to say, so I'll go ahead and say it for you on you know, which is a little bit of a somber day for you. Long live Arlington Park.
I feel that way, man. It's Million Day, and I wish all the people that are running in those races today a lot of luck. I'll miss being part of it, though.
Dave Zenner joining us on Off to the Races this morning. Thank you, David. We appreciate you sitting in for Darrell Wood here while he's on a boat watching an iceberg. And we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you then.
Great. Dave Zenner joining us on Off to the Races this morning. Wanted to bring in now one of those leading riders at Colonial Downs, and his career spans not only the current version of Colonial Downs, but also the past version where he had hung his tack at Colonial Downs several times before. Joe Rocco joins us on Off to the Races. Joe, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. This time last year, when you joined us on Off to the Races, you were, I think, driving through North Carolina after doing some bike riding. Where do we find you this morning?
I ride at Churchill today, so I'm at my home in Louisville, trying to hide from my kids so that you guys can...
Yeah, good luck with that. They'll find you, kids. You're very good at that. Let's maybe just touch a little bit on your background, not only at Colonial, but just your career. Your father was a jockey, and I think I'm trying to remember if this came up with you or with CC Lopez in a past interview, where because your father rode till about the mid 2010s, whatever they're called. Did you ever have an opportunity to face your father in a race?
We were actually blessed on that front. We rode together for probably 12, 15 years on like a daily basis, more or less.
Really?
We've had probably 8, like from the quarter pole to the wire stretch battles.
How about that?
I'm blessed to have been able to ride with my dad. A lot of other jockeys who even brothers or uncles and fathers have ridden, and it's been an age gap difference or injuries or whatever would make it so that they've never been able to compete together. But I know riding with him was invaluable in helping me learn to be the rider I am now.
I know it must have happened. I didn't realize it was so frequent during that time. But yeah, that's who do you think? You mentioned those stretch duels. Was it 4-4 or was it?
It's pretty even. For quite a few years, they had a picture of me and my dad coming to the wire as the billboard outside of Delaware Park. We have a few pictures, each of us at our house hanging up on the wall of me nosing him out or him nosing me out on the wire.
How about that? That's got to be special. You mentioned your father. Your grandfather was a horse trainer, and doing a little bit of read up here before the show. I guess it was in New Jersey where where you really kind of broke in and stuff. Tell us about your early career and maybe what you remember from the early days at Colonial.
I started on a farm working for my grandfather, and then my real first job at the track, I worked for a trainer named Sam Kronk, and he's the one that kind of helped season me and get me ready to ride races. I worked for him for a couple years. Then I started riding and rode my first race in Tampa, and then with my apprentice, I went to New York for a little bit, and then Monmouth Park in New Jersey that summer as they ran, I rode there. And over the next couple of years, I did my business I followed it to Maryland. And through Maryland, when they would take a break during the summer, they would go to Colonial and run there. And I've always been kind of labeled a grass rider. I mean, I think it's more of the business that I have. The people that I ride for have a lot of good grass horses. So if that's what you ride and that's what you win more of, you're kind of be labeled that. But to be labeled a grass rider and ride at Colonial Downs is fantastic because it's the best turf course in the country, the world maybe. So riding there is it's a lot of fun to take advantage of that course.
Yeah, I mean that's we talk about it almost to the point of It is just such a remarkable. It's the best stand of grass in Virginia by far, and and that's part of that national reputation. I'd actually like to see it become almost internationally known. I think there's some opportunity there. Should tie in with some races over in England. That'd be fun if there was some sort of turf series tied in that kind of way. The I had forgotten this. And I think I'm right in saying this. I may have picked up your father's name instead of you, but I think I remember seeing you were in the Seabiscuit movie. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Yes, so, so that was – what was your role in it? And I think I saw you in the credits with was it David Noosh, whose brother Patrick, of course, runs Braeburn here in
David
just
Noosh
outside of Charlottesville.
Yeah, he had a small part in the movie as well. I was in a fight scene in the beginning of the movie where Spider-Man or Tobey Maguire rides his first race, and the people are fighting in front of him, and I'm on the inside. And I fight the jockey outside of me. I push him off his horse, and then Spider-Man comes inside of me, and I fight him, and then I grab his saddle pal, and he's hitting me, screaming, "Get off of me!" But it was a lot of fun because we had to like choreograph the whole fight scene with a stunt coordinator in a warehouse on equisizers for like a month before filming, and there's so much more goes into making a movie than you realize, and it was a really fun experience.
Yeah, how about that? I didn't realize that was you on it. You know, I'll have to, next time I'll watch it, and I'll watch that movie, it seems like about once every 3 months, for one reason or another, parts of it. Maybe not as much as you have since you've appeared in it, but I'll have to look for that. You've ridden some nice horses as well. Going back to that fight scene, how much of that actually does happen in a real? run into instances
sometimes I
like
wish
that?
More.
What's that?
Sometimes I wish more. No, it's one thing I've been taught, and most jockeys as well, is you got to be professional. You got to take care of the animal that you're on first and foremost. And if I'm mad enough somebody that I want to physically do something about it, I would be smart enough to wait to be back in the jock's room.
Sure.
Certainly not do it while I'm still on a horse, you know. It's not only that you're mad at one guy, but you got to think about everyone else around you and behind you and the horses that they're on as well.
Yeah. No, that's yeah. Absolutely.
So, I mean,
etiquette.
It has happened, I think, at Parks about 10 years ago. Guys got into a fight during a race and were whipping each other, and I think they each got like over a year suspension. It's completely not worth it and stupid, you know.
Yeah. No. I'm not like what you saw in the movie, but obviously something where you're riding so close together, it's competitive. We've even seen horses do that, you know, from a savaging standpoint.
Oh yeah.
You remember Firenze fire race, you know? So I mean, it's got to be sometimes it's just got to be tempting, and I'm sure some stuff, very small stuff, sticks out here and there.
It's a very weird world we live in because we're competitors on the racetrack, but then we have to go back to the same locker room and be around each other all day long. So it's very strange because we're not on the same team, but we have to more or less be in the same space and be respectful to each other to a certain extent. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, absolutely.
So kind of different than other sports.
Yeah. And you see some of that in other sports as well. You know, just the sportsmanship. It really is unique with horse racing. You've ridden some nice horses in your career. Grade One winners, Tismasu and Lighthouse Bay and Sky Ring, who I think Sky Ring was a Lucas horse. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, I think he went a Grade Two or Grade Three with him. The Marvin Munoz at Fairgrounds, I think that's a Grade Three. Yes,
Don't Tell
Lucas
Sophia almost gave you a Breeders' Cup win. You know, those some of the more memorable mounts?
Yes, for sure. I've been blessed to be able to ride some nice horses in my career so far.
Great, yeah. Over 13,000 starts, well over 1,500 wins, $55 million in earnings and still counting. How about for the match series on Tuesday? Maybe to take a quick look here at your assignments here. Nothing in the Seeking the Pearl. in the old Nelson. Are you riding at Colonial Downs on Tuesday? Did I see that?
Yes, I am.
I pulled the match series out here, and man, am I surprised. You don't have any of the stakes mounts, at least not so far. I guess you could. Oh, there you are on Verb. Actually, the very last horse in one of those 14-horse fields that Dave Zenner was just talking about. Tell us about Verb and the Chesapeake Stakes. It won't be on the turf. It's on the dirt. Sprint.
Yes. You know, as New we mountain. Talk about we talk about the turf at Colonial a whole lot, but I must say the dirt track is very good there as well. It's usually fast. It can get a little bit speed biased, but Jason Cook, he's had a really good summer so far. He's a local Louisville trainer here from Kentucky, and he does a really good job. So I'm looking forward to that horse outrunning its odds. The other stake I ride is for Kelsey Danner. I think the horse's name is Queen of the Green. That is on the turf. I think it's the same day. I think that horse should run very well as well.
I got you here, yep. Actually, in the old Nelson, yep, just overlooked it, 15-1. Kelsey Danner, a nice trainer at Colonial Downs, having a successful meet as well. So, good luck in those two races there with number two, Queen of the Green, in the sixth race, the old Nelson, and then the 14-horse Verb in the Chesapeake Stakes there. Two races later there. So, yeah. Well, good luck in those mounts. We appreciate you. Go ahead.
I was going to say the match series, the Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred Championship whatever series, my business is not quite as strong there because a lot more of them horses come from the East Coast. So a lot of the riders from Monmouth, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Maryland, you know what I mean? They bring their riders down with them horses.
Yeah, those are successful horses, and when you have success like that, you rarely make a change. You know, sometimes you do it for logistics and whatever, but yeah, you like to see, at least from a handicapping standpoint, you like to see the returning mount. So yeah, that's why it makes sense. You wouldn't be on many of those on those mounts in the match series, but. Just kind of looking ahead, you have that one mount today in the opener at Churchill Downs, four mounts on Monday, a whopping, it's kind of funny how that sort of skips around, six mounts on Tuesday, and then four more, so 14 starts at Colonial Downs next week. So, go wrap things up here.
I look forward to it.
Joe, thanks for spending some time with us on Off to the Races, and good luck, and we'll be seeing you next week.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Great. Joe Rocco Jr. joining us on Off to the Races this morning. We're going to head to break. When we come back, more racing at Colonial Downs. Jessica Paquette will join Frank Vespi, Living the Dream, and then we got Derby Bill Watson, who will handicap some of these match races as well as some others. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com. Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as harness racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy hour racing every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock and on September 17th, it's free long sleeve t-shirt day. Own a horse for a day and win thousands of dollars. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family friendly.
The leading sire of PA bred 2-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first ever Pennsylvania 2-year-old Stallion Series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
More days, more money, more fun, Colonial Downs. More days, count them 9 weeks of racing in 2022. More money, more than $600,000 in average daily purses. And Virginia bred, sired, and certified runners race for more money in our restricted program and bonuses in open company races. More fun, more turf racing than anywhere else in the country. And new this year, a low 12% takeout on the Pick 5. Colonial Downs, more days, more money, more fun. First post Monday through Wednesday, 1:45.
Champion Gunrunner's Full Brother Fortune Ticket and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at AnchorHopeFarm.com.
Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features seven stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
106.1 ESPN.
Welcome back, everybody. Frank Vespi here on Off to the Races, powered by the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Happy to be joined now by Colonial Downs on-air handicapper and analyst Jessica Paquette. Jessica, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for joining us here this morning. I know you got more fun things to do than go blah, blah, blah on a Saturday morning, but we appreciate you making a little bit of time. Let me start you with this. We're about halfway through the Colonial meet now. We've got a few weeks still to go, but a few weeks behind us. What are you looking at from your perspective? What are kind of the top storylines or the headlines from the first half of the Colonial meet?
Well, the first thing is that it's just going by way too fast. It's been an amazing summer so far. One of the most interesting things, I think, is that Colonial Downs, the meet winds up being a little bit of a melting pot. We get horsemen and horses and trainers from and jockeys from kind of a little bit of everywhere. And this year we got a lot of folks from Illinois with, no Arlington anymore. And they have been a really welcome addition to both the jockey and trainer colonies.
It's interesting you say that, and it occurred to me while you were talking, I imagine you have a little bit of a soft spot in your heart for the Arlington people because you yourself are kind of a racing refugee after the closure of your home track, Suffolk Downs.
Yeah, I really do, and it's kind of funny because Colonial is a little bit of a full of some Suffolk refugees from the racing office and on the starting gate, and me, and it's nice to see that, even when you do have the heartbreak of having to shut the doors of your home track, which is terrible, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, that you can find a way forward.
Do you have and this is a pretty off-the-cuff question, do you have any insight? It sounds like there are plans starting to kind of maybe come together to bring racing back to Massachusetts. Do you have any insight into that?
I am, always rooting for all of my, friends and family, essentially family from New England horse racing to find a way. And I'm a gal that likes the long shot, but this is a big long shot.
Okay, fair enough. Two other...
dramatic as I could be, right? Like,
no, it was good. That was good. Yeah, that was strong.
Okay, A plus.
Yeah, exactly. You could have a history, rather a future in politics, sure. two other storylines I thought have been kind of fun so far this year. I mean, one to me was Chambeau, the horse that 5-year-old mare, first time starter in a stake on opening day, wins the stake, gives the trainer TJ Aguirre, who we had on a couple weeks ago, his first stakes win. And then TJ's got to fly out to Las Vegas for his bachelor party. I thought that was a pretty cool confluence of events.
So and here's the fun. Horse racing is just such a small world in full circle. One of my off-the-track thoroughbreds, Puget Sound, was a hard-knocking Maryland horse for a long time, and he was the first horse TJ learned to groom on.
That I did not know. That's a nice full circle. The other thing is, last week, Tito's Changed My Luck, Chucky Lawrence, the trainer of that horse, Chucky, like, starting a little bit of a cottage industry, if you will, of winning with big long shots and stakes. He won the Penn Mile at 80-1 with Wow What a Summer earlier this year. And then Tito's Changed My Luck at 13-1. Pardon?
I'm really hoping the Chucky brings Wow What a Summer to the Virginia Derby. I thought he was physically one of the most impressive horses we saw at Colonial Downs last summer as a 2-year-old.
Yeah, I have not spoken with him about that, but he has certainly been fishing in pretty deep water with that horse, so that might be a nice spot. Now, I wanted to ask you, one of the things you just mentioned a moment ago is how Colonial is kind of a melting pot, I think was the term you used. It really has kind of an eclectic group of horses and horsemen. It used to be very much Maryland, but in Virginia, and now it's people from all over the place, and that poses real handicapping challenges, you know, because all these horses and horsemen really don't have established form against each other. I'm curious as to how you approach handicapping at Colonial Downs now.
Well, the first week or two, it really is just seeing how these various circuits measure up against each other. I was a little surprised by how strong the Florida form has been. It's really held up kind of throughout the season. The Illinois form, that has really held solid, but it's two good barns from Illinois, Larry Ravelli and Chris Block. So they came pretty loaded with some live horses ready for the turf. So this seemed like a perfect fit for them. But I always give a little nod to the Maryland and the Mid-Atlantic folks. This is still home track for them.
Talking with Jessica Paquette, the on-air analyst and handicapper for Colonial Downs and other places. You yourself have been in a lot of different places in the last year. You did some work at Sam Houston, now here. Seems like you're getting purchase here as you branch out from your Suffolk days.
You know, I may be a little bit of a like Chambeau, kind of a slow start here, but we're making up some ground.
Well, that's it. You got the stakes win. Let's look ahead. You got four stakes at Colonial on Tuesday, part of the match series. And the match series races, sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not so good. But the ones you guys have at Colonial on Tuesday are really good. What are you most looking forward to in Tuesday's races?
This entire card, from top to bottom, I think is the best the racing office has assembled so far. It was so fun, you know, from start to finish to handicap. And there are actually quite a few horses throughout the day I'm really excited to see. Some are in the match series, some are in what are essentially stakes quality fields otherwise. The first off is right in the opener. That's perfect for Michael Stidham. To me, she was one of the best looking horses I've seen all year, anywhere I've been, any track, any day. She could not have been a more impressive debut winner for me. And then later in the card, there are two horses for Ignacio Correas, Chitara, who was so much fun to watch last year. She just came into her own in that second start, and it's been the real deal ever since. She's run well everywhere she's gone. I'm excited to see her back. And then the other is in the sixth race, Dadia, who I think looks like a star on the rise. She was a grade one winner in Argentina, and you never know if that translates to North American success, but I think it's going to in this case.
I think, to me, one of the horses I don't think I'm going to get the morning line on is in the Seeking the Pearl. I don't think I'm getting 8-1 on Feet of Spree. If I get 8-1, betting with both fists on her. How do you look at the Seeking the Pearl?
Remind me which number that is. I do not have the race names in front of me, just the numbers.
It's the Philly Sprint on the Dirt. It's the fourth race.
The fourth race. And that's Chitara for me. Chitara might be a hard single. When I tell you how much I loved this Phillies race last year, it was one of my favorite races of the meet, that win that she had. My entire horizontal ticket here might be based around her.
All right. Well, we'll be opposing each other in that one. But that's what makes handicapping and racing, right?
And then later on in the card, I mean, we get the matchup of Just Might and Mucho. Kind of put, they put on a show last year, and I'm really anticipating both of them doing the same again.
Well, that is such an interesting race. That's the Chesapeake 14-horse field in that one. Because you also, you have Necker Island, who's a fun horse, and you have Baron, who is a cool story and a fun horse. He just won the DeFrancis a couple weeks back at Laurel Park. I mean, that's a really interesting race. And the Buckland, which is maybe the one before, you got the top pair from the PG County and the top pair from the Bensalem earlier in the match series with Eon's English Tavern, Beacon Hill. There in that race, actually, the Buckland, which I'm going to find the race number for you.
It's race number 7. I've caught up.
You've caught up. Okay, now you're ahead of me. It's not fair. that race, to me, there's a million ways to go in that race.
Yeah, and you kind of watched that last race with Eon's and English Tavern, and what a grudge match they have to renew here, because that was one of those really iffy, that was a tough takedown.
It was a tough takedown. I completely agree with you. Talking to people at the track, kind of like, really? Okay. And I know the Russell family was not too pleased with it. Sheldon Russell was aboard and will be aboard again, the horse that won but was taken down. So it should be interesting to see. But, I mean, you could make a case for almost anybody in that field. So that should be a lot of fun. Jessica Paquette here from the Colonial Downs, the on-air analyst at Colonial Downs. What's been the most fun part of your job?
You know, it is the most fun at Colonial for me is that I get to do this with so many of my friends. I know that sounds really hokey, but announcer Jason Beam is one of my closest friends in real life, so that we get to do this together, it makes it even more fun.
That certainly makes life a little bit easier. Now you do the commute, right? You go back to Massachusetts when Colonial's not racing.
I just got off a plane about a half hour ago, back in Richmond for the weekend for the racing week, and then back home on Thursday.
Is that obviously it's a lot of back and forth? Does that pose any particular challenges? It's not a super long flight, but does that make life more complicated than would be ideal?
I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to have the chance to do it. I'm a good traveler. I'm a good shipper. I'll go where there are horses and where there's racing.
And you eat up when you get to your stall, and so everything's good, right?
Yeah, you know, sit in the ice bucket. I need to sit in ice a little bit at this point, but you know, I'm older claimer at this juncture, but we're doing our best.
Some of us are a lot older than you, so. Let's bring up something near and dear to your heart to close the segment here. You have been very active in promoting aftercare for thoroughbreds, for retired thoroughbreds, including older claimers. You were talking on social media the other day about a trainer, Burton Sipp, who has a history of horses leaving his care and immediately showing up in kill pens. What do you think racing needs to do to get right on this issue?
We don't have a lot of room to get it wrong at this point. We can only say we love our horses so much, and many of us do. But now it's time to show it by making some effective permanent change to get folks that do not respect the horses, do not respect the sport, do not respect the jockeys by allowing some of this to go on, and clean up the sport from the inside out. We run a real risk of losing our social license to operate at a certain point, and it is time that we look to the future and move forward together as an industry.
But the challenge, I guess I'm with you. I mean, I think this is obviously correct. Here's the challenge, though. We're not, horse racing isn't the NFL. The NFL could just say, okay, you're banned, and that's the end of that story. Racing is a regulated gambling industry, regulated by the states. I guess in cases like this, what you're going to need, assuming it doesn't get struck down, is HISA to start looking at aftercare as part of the integrity piece.
I think that's going to be an important component going forward. And we're having this opportunity to get a broad, you know, overarching, you know, oversight for the sport that can, you know, unify and provide clear-cut parameters that go state to state, where someone who maybe shouldn't be licensed anymore, maybe cannot get licensed anywhere, not just go to another jurisdiction once they get booted from one place to another.
Right, right. All right. On that note, we're going to let you go. Jessica Paquette, thank you so much for joining us here on Off to the Races. And good luck on Tuesday. Well, good luck, of course, the rest of the meet. And good luck on Tuesday, except when you're on horses that I'm not on.
Best of luck. If I can't win, I hope you do.
Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great rest of the meet.
Thank you. Good luck.
All right, Nick Hahn, we'll throw it back to you. That was Jessica Paquette, the Colonial Downs on-air handicapper.
Yeah, very hard working, very smart, very dedicated, very hands-on, like a lot of the hosts before at Colonial Downs. And, yeah, it's good to get her input and maybe hear the banter between her and Jason as they go handicapping throughout the paddock. Good job there, Frank, with Jessica Paquette.
Sir.
Moving over here to Derby Bill Watson here in just a few moments. Just got a couple quick announcements here. The 12th annual Shannon Campbell and the Disabled Jockeys Tournament, as I mentioned earlier, I wanted to pull up the flyer and just make sure I had everything right on it. 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Berkshire Golf Course. You drive by the Colonial Downs backstretch on your way there. Shannon Campbell, who actually is local to Virginia, was paralyzed from the waist down in a riding accident at Charlestown, and she's one of 50 disabled, permanently disabled jockeys around the country. So this is a great event. 1 o'clock shotgun start, very modest entry fees, and to it's going to be a great day tomorrow to play golf. So just maybe an opportunity, if you don't have any plans on what's going to be an unseasonably cool day, maybe an opportunity to reach out. Frank Petromalo has all the information. He's with the Virginia HBPA. If you're interested, give him a call. And still a chance to get in great contests and stuff. And you just see good participants in that event all the way through. One of the races later today is the Saratoga Special. And wanted to touch on this. I tried to get to this earlier in the show and didn't. But it features only a five-horse field. And these are two-year-old colts, but there is one horse in particular we've talked about several times on the show. It was eye-catching. This is a horse by the name of Damon's Mound, and want to play the replay from his only start here. Travis Stone has the only start here for Damon's Mound. We'll pick it up in the stretch.
At the quarter pole, Damon's Mound willingly has come on to take the lead and takes off for the wire. Five lengths in front, just like that. Easy Big Boy left behind in second. Confidence Game trying to come on late with He's a Good Dancer and So Too Blocked. But they are all chasing Damon's Mound in a flashy, flashy performance. Rambles home to win it by 12.
It was actually over 12. Michelle Lovell, who trains, obviously, Colonial Downs, plenty of love for this horse. Michelle Lovell, the trainer, Cliff and Michelle Love, the owners. This is a horse by Gervin, has been working out Saturdays at Colonial Downs, will be racing today about 2:47 at Saratoga in the Saratoga Special. Good luck to those connections. We'll see here in a moment if Derby Bill likes that horse today or not. And a little bit of intro music here for Derby Bill as we bring him on to the show. Try and figure out exactly what he's up to today. I hear some Matchbox in the background. Derby Bill, your specialized custom intro music is Matchbox this morning. Why so?
Yeah, in honor of the match series of races at Colonial Downs that started in 1997. Mr. Foreman, Alan Foreman, the lawyer, is a big Matchbox 20 fan, I think. And I'm a fan of 3 a.m. in the morning handicapping ponies, so the song's called 3 a.m.
3 a.m. Now, when you're doing that handicapping at 3 a.m., is that because you've stayed up so late or because you got up so early?
or maybe both.
Usually have some West Coast action in baseball or something, like the Yankees were playing Seattle on the West Coast till 2, so you might as well just stay up. You only live once, Nick.
That's right. Derbyville, I can attest, for some time, for decades, I've been getting emails from Derbyville, and when I check the timestamp, it is at all hours of the night. So that is exactly, there is truth. Whether it's staying up or getting up early in the morning, Derbyville is not far away. Let's start in these match series. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, that's all right. The Saratoga Special, the one you asked me about was Damon's Mound is the big Colonial Downs horses. I mean, Gabriel Saez has been flying in and out of Colonial Downs, working this horse, getting him prepped for his biggest race of his life at Saratoga. And this is the start of the Kentucky Derby 2023 season to me, is the two-year-olds and to everybody. And then the winner of this stays for the Stanford at Saratoga, and you progress to the Kentucky Derby Road if you finish in the top two. And I think Damon's got a good chance here. The only problem is Gulfport, a horse that just annihilated everybody in the Bashford Manor, just crushed everybody by miles, but didn't have anybody else in that race. Asmussen and Rosario, just deadly combination. And this horse is just fully capable of winning this race. Damon's got to get out better, a little bit better. He still won by 12, but he had a horrible start. Not horrible, but a bad start last time. So, you know, I'm looking for a two-horse shootout here, like, the great Seabiscuit races with two horses. And these are two two-year-olds that are going to be on the Derby Road if all goes well. Damon's Mound here, training at Colonial. He'll come back and train at Colonial after this for the Saratoga. And hopefully it'd be a mild upset. I think he's Gulfport will go off at 3-5 or something, and Damon's will go off at, give you, you know, $5 for $2. So, you know, the betting-wise, I go with Damon's Mound for sure for the upset.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this might be the biggest horse on dirt to be at Colonial, even though not in a race there since Victory Gallop. I mean, this is just kind of huge with this horse spending all of his time there and working there, and hopefully maybe an opportunity to go back to Saratoga closing weekend for the stake up there. Let's talk. Good luck to Damon's Mound and that crew today. Let's talk about the Seeking the Pearl here. We got about 5 minutes here to maybe go through some of these races. Nine horse field in the Seeking the Pearl. The match points leader, Calasaurus, is in this group. Match horses showed up here for these races. Chitara, last year's winner, is back as well. 7 furlongs on the dirt. Who do you like in the Seeking the Pearl?
Yeah, well-timed match series with the handicapping contest in Colonial Downs online with all the heavy hitters betting Colonial Downs on Tuesday. So, you know, 4 stakes races is nice, 150,000 purse. And this one starts it off at early, 309. It's not tied in with the other ones, but as far as a wager. But Calypso is an interesting horse here, Nick. Go down to number 6, Virgil Lynch up. This horse has won a grade 1 and grade 2 at 7 furlongs. But that was when it was trained by a guy named Bob Baffert. So we have a Baffert horse here at Colonial Downs again, which happens, very rare because he's not a turf trainer. But Calypso has a nice value at 6-1. Calasaurus, his second effort, he's stretching out to 7 furlongs. It's an interesting distance on the dirt. So I'm going to try for an upset with Calypso.
Good choice there. Baffert, of course, came to Colonial back in the early years with Senior Swinger and failed in the I'm not sure that horse even made the money in that Virginia Derby where he was here, actually, with Bob and Beverly Lewis. Got to find those pictures as I have them somewhere in the archives. The Old Nelson is the 6th race here. The After Alliance Old Nelson, a mile and a 16th on the turf. Here you have Deciding Vote with 20 points in the match series, leading it in a hurry. Stuart Janney's horse for Shug McGahee, as well as the 4 horse from a match standpoint. But it does look like Cheermeister with Trevor McCarthy gets morning light line favoritism at 7-2. Who do you like in the old Nelson?
You could care less about the morning line in this race, Nick. This one's a whopper. A mile and a 16th, 13 on the turf. This one's, any horse is over $10 that wins this race. I have Market Rumors up there with Landero. He's Market Rumor, I believe, is the 8 horse. Yes. It gets a little bit of love. But Cheermeister's not quite the horse he used to be, I don't think, but we'll find out. Deciding Vote, interesting horse here. Walter Pape's horse built his career on around this course's career on around this match series. So it's very important in the match series for Deciding Vote. So he's targeted this race more than any other horse. So plus I like 10-1, so I'm gonna try Deciding Vote on my vote there.
Okay, the Buckland is a mile and a 16th, $150,000 is all these stakes are. These are for three-year-olds and upwards on the turf as well. And the leader is Eons, who comes in as the defending champ in the Buckland for Arnold Delacour. 4-1, what do you think there?
Yeah, another one. Trevor McCarthy's been riding at Saratoga and Colonial back and forth. He gets a good mount here. This one's 2-for-2 in the match series, and he's targeted this race also. So I'm not going to go against him, but, you know, there's a lot of value in this race if you want to go against him. You have Sheldon Russell on English Tavern. You have a long shot here I'm looking at. Militaris. Take a look at number 8, Militaris, when you get a separate minute. He's not 15-1. Got a shot.
Yeah.
And this is a pick 3 here. Rick 6, 7, and 8. You can tie it into a stakes pick 3.
Did Chesapeake want to get this in on the dirt here? We just got a few moments here. 3 over Deuces is second in the point standings. You got Baron as well. But, of course, Just Might and Macho here. Boulder is in this race as well. What are your thoughts on the Chesapeake 6 furlongs?
Another one. If they get 14 on the turf, I think it'll pay over $10 for the winner. Nectar Island's in there, a nice one there. Boulder's getting a little long in the tooth like Derbyville, so I'm going to pass on that. Just Might and Mucho, probably the 1-2 finishers last year in this race, are coming back, and they're fully capable of finishing on top here. I can't see the odds. And there's a horse called, I want you to look at, Nick. Tyler Gaffion is riding in the big Arlington Million today, I believe, and then he's racing a horse called, do you remember this one? Nakatomi Tower, number 4.
Okay. Yeah,
Nakatomi is.
Die Hard movie. Thanks, Derby Bill, for your picks. Want to thank everybody on the show, Dave Zenner, Joe Rocco Jr., Joseph Paquette was interviewed by Frank Vespi, and good luck today with all the racing action across the country. Good luck this week. We'll see you next week on Off to the Races post time, 10 o'clock.